Value of a True Education. Ellen G. White. It is the nicest work ever assumed by man or woman to deal with youthful minds. In educating the youth, the greatest care should be taken to vary the manner of instruction so as to call forth the high and noble powers of the mind. Parents and teachers of schools are certainly disqualified to educate children properly if they have not first learned the lessons of self-control, patience, forbearance, gentleness, and love. What an important position for parents, guardians, and teachers! There are very few who realize the most essential wants of the mind and how to direct the developing intellect, the growing thoughts and feelings of the youth. Children are in great need of proper education in order that their lives should be of use in the world. But any effort that exalts intellectual culture above moral training is misdirected. Instructing, cultivating, polishing children should be the main burden with parents and teachers. There is a period of training children and a time for educating youth, and it is essential that both of these be combined in a great degree in the schools. Children may be trained for the service of sin or for the service of righteousness. The early education of youth shapes their character in this life and in their religious life. Solomon says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This language is positive. The training which Solomon enjoins is to direct, educate, and develop. In order for parents to do this work, they must themselves understand the way the child should go. This embraces more than merely having a knowledge of books. It takes in everything that is good, virtuous, righteous, and holy. It comprehends the practice of temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love to God and to one another. In order to attain this object, the physical, mental, moral, and religious education of children must have attention. In households and in schools, the education of children should not be like the training of dumb animals, for children have an intelligent will which should be directed to control all their powers. The dumb animals need to be trained, for they have not reason and intellect. The human mind must be taught self-control. It must be educated to rule the human being while the animal is controlled by the master. The beast is trained to be submissive to his master. The master is mind, judgment, and will for the beast. A child may be so trained as to have, like the beast, no will of his own. His individuality may even be merged in that of the one who superintends his training, and his will become to all intents and purposes subject to the will of the teacher. Children who are thus educated will be deficient in moral energy and individual responsibility. They have not been taught to move from reason and principle. Their will was controlled by another, and the mind was not called out that it might expand and strengthen by exercise. They were not directed and disciplined with respect to their peculiar constitution and capabilities of mind, to put forth their strongest powers when required. Teachers should not stop here, but give special attention to the cultivation of the weaker faculties that all the powers may be brought into exercise and carried forward from one degree of strength to another, that the mind may attain to due proportions. Children should be taught to respect experienced judgment and to be guided by their parents and teachers. They should be so educated that their minds will be united with the minds of their parents and teachers, and so instructed that they can see the propriety of heeding their counsel. Then, when they shall go forth from the guiding hand of their parents and teachers, their characters will not be like the reed trembling in the wind. If parents would feel it a solemn duty that God enjoins upon them to educate their children for usefulness in this life, if they would adorn the inner temple of the soul of their sons and daughters for the immortal life, we should see a great change in society for the better. And then there would not be manifest so great indifference to practical godliness, and it would not be so difficult to arouse the moral sensibilities of children to understand the claims that God has upon them. The youth have faculties that, with proper cultivation, would qualify them for almost any position of trust. If they had made it their object in obtaining an education to bring into exercise and develop the powers God has given them for usefulness that they might prove a blessing to others, their minds would not be dwarfed to an inferior standard. They would show depth of thought and firm principles, and would command influence and respect. They might have an elevating influence upon others, which would lead souls to see and acknowledge the power of an intelligent Christian life.